Welcome to the Tap Room Exclusive. I'm Dean Zarbaugh. I'm sitting here at Great Lakes Brewing Company with Mark Hunger, the brewmaster of Great Lakes. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with me. You guys just celebrated your 30th anniversary here at Great Lakes, or you're going to here in September.
Correct.
It's the whole year-long celebration. Congratulations on that. You started around 97 around here?
Right. I started here in January of 97, so it's been quite a while.
And what brought you to brewing? What brought you to Great Lakes itself?
But I have a science background. Okay. And graduated with a science degree, and did not know much about brewing at the time, but knew there was a lot of science involved. And I applied here, didn't really answer any particular posting or anything. And it just so happened they were looking for somebody with some science background to start up the quality control lab.
Okay.
So that's sort of how I got my foot in the door. They brought me in. Back at that time, nobody necessarily had titles or anything like that. Right. You just sort of did everything. And I, of course, started up the quality lab, but I also learned how to brew, learned how to filter, and pretty much do everything, as well as, you know, help on the line with bottles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was a fun time to join the
Bet. I bet, you know, there's just so much going on, and I bet it kept you guys really busy. What was it about beer that kind of like drew you to that? You just kind of fell into it through the science, or were you like familiar with craft before that, or?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of funny, when I was in college, I had drank Great Lakes and had a bunch of Great Lakes coasters tin tacked up on my door to my dorm room.
Nice. So, nice.
I don't know whether that was a sign of things to come, or this is like my way before I obviously worked here, junior year in college or something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a sign of things to come.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
That's so really cool.
I was definitely familiar with Great Lakes at the time. Dortmunder was a love of mine. It was a great beer. So it was fun.
And you just, you know, how can you pass up the opportunity to work at a place like this?
Right,
know?
Exactly.
You know, and outside of, you know, the final product, what's kind of been your favorite part of brewing beer?
I think it's obviously the final product is great to enjoy. It's being a part of the whole entire process. At this stage here, we travel out to hop country to actually look at the raw ingredients in the fields that we're going to get and brew with, and to see then those raw ingredients come in, as well as the malt, to analyze that and then, you know, brew with it, and then just track everything literally from the field to the glass. I think is a great experience.
Yeah, that's got to be cool. You know, like this came from this exact place. This,
right,
you know,
right.
You can trace everything right back to the origin.
There are times where we'll be out in hop country and we can actually, you know, we're getting our lot from this particular farmer, and we're there talking to the farmer who's, you know, all muddy and dirty from the fields. And so just to get down to that level and to follow it through the whole process, and then, of course, the quality aspects to make sure, you know, the final product is the best product possible for the whole entire shelf life of the beer, is just, it's neat to see and fun to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice blend of art and science. You guys, Burning River Pale Ale has been a staple for Great Lakes for many years now. You guys sure. recently went in and kind of reformulated the recipe a little bit. What was the inspiration behind doing that now? Like, you know, was it part of the 30th anniversary, or you just decided, you know, maybe try something new?
Well, it's something we wanted to do. Burning River obviously has its roots from the name pertaining to the sort of environmental hiccup that we had on the Cuyahoga
Hiccup's
River.
A good word.
We'll call it a miscue.
Yeah.
That pretty much put us on the map for that. So we decided to, you know, way back in the day when we came out, sort of celebrate sort of in a way celebrate that event in our history. And we've always been a sustainability, worried about sustainability, looked at that, looked at the environmental aspects. And obviously, a good part of that is brewing raw ingredients. A lot of our raw ingredients come from far, far distances. Mm-hmm. Our hops come from the Pacific Northwest, long ways from here, most of our hops.
Right.
Malt, southern Canada, Dakotas, Idaho, so still a distance away. And it takes a lot of energy to transport those ingredients. So we've always had our eye out for local ingredients. But the caveat is it's got to be of good quality.
Right.
Not to say there's not good quality out there.
Right.
So Burning River was obviously a good beer to be a candidate for that. But we needed suppliers that could supply the amount that we needed.
Right.
So it had to be good quality, and they had to be able to get the amounts that we needed. And it was at this point in time where that became apparent that that was a possibility. So we decided to get some malt from House Malts in downtown Cleveland, who are doing a great job making some great malts, and then some, we'll say, regionally sourced hops just out of state from Ohio, but still very, very close. Some hops that are very good quality and we're very proud to use.
You see, you know, it seems like hop farms are growing, popping up everywhere nowadays.
Yeah.
And it, but like you said, it's got to be, you know, for someone like you guys put out a lot of beer every year. So you got to, you know, make sure you can get that.
Right.
So talk, like, I'm still new to the behind the scenes brewing process and all that stuff. How do you take, like, let's say you come up with a recipe for a beer and then you're going to make that for distribution. So you're going to scale the recipe up. How do you take that from like a small batch like that to like a huge batch and keep everything, you know, the same, keep that flavor profile from that original batch into a large batch.
Right.
Cause that's an art in of itself.
Exactly.
And I commend you guys that can do that. Cause that is truly a skill.
And that is key. You definitely want to do that, obviously, to keep things consistent. A lot of it is experience. You know, working on the system for 20 some years, you sort of get a feel for what your efficiencies are, how much bitterness you're going to get out of a hop on this system versus, the production system. So some of it is feel, there's some calculations involved as well, obviously. But you know, all those are involved, and sometimes there's some trial and error,
right?
Little adjustments here and there, but I think we've done a pretty good job.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And for going forward, on that point, we just started up a pilot plant.
Oh, nice!
We've got a two-barrel pilot system that's in our brew house over across the street, and that we paid extra. Without a doubt, this is just not your basic two-barrel system.
Oh, okay.
This is a two-barrel system that emulates our production plant.
Really?
Dimensions of the louder and everything within the system. If you were to just build a two-barrel brewing system, it wouldn't look like this. So it's built to proportionally emulate our production plant. So that'll make it that much easier to bring those ideas, those concepts up to the big system.
Oh, that's really cool. So you've been here now for a little while. What's not a typical day like, but what's your day like as a brewmaster at Great Lakes?
Yeah, there's definitely not, and I stress not a typical day. Really, it's being in the tune to how things are flowing, making sure we're keeping on schedule, making sure the product, you know, nothing is compromising our quality in any way. I think I might have said schedule, staying on schedule, and where we have to catch up. What are the fires that need to be put out to stay on schedule and to keep things moving.
Yeah. What are some other beers that have come out of the system? You've also done, am I right? The Alberta Clipper, was that your?
That was a beer that developed, came through the seven barrel of the pub system.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite beers that you've made, through your system over the years?
Oh gosh.
If you can pinpoint, like, let's say a couple.
I probably have ask me tomorrow and the next day and I probably have a new favorite. Yeah.
Just based on the occasion and what you're thinking.
I'm probably more of I drink anything, mm-hmm. but I'm probably more of a lager guy than anything.
Yeah, I love lagers.
Box, are a favorite of mine. Elliot Ness is one of my favorites. But then the Flip the Page, Cloud Cutter is another great beer that I think we developed that, really, really hits the mark. I think it is a great beer for the, warmer weather that I hope we're getting here.
Fingers crossed it comes soon, man. It's been dreary and everything lately, but, I've seen a lot of people with that Cloud Cutter, you know, it just seems like everybody's loving that beer right now.
It's delicious. It's
no, absolutely.
It's really, really good.
I haven't had a bad beer from you guys. You know what I mean? Like there's something for every occasion. And, you know, making a lager is relatively a hard thing to do to get a really good lager going. Is that right?
Like, that's
what
very
is it
accurate.
About that style that makes it?
First of all, mean, we sort of developed as a lager brewery.
Yeah.
Dortmund or Elliot Ness were two of our first beers, really. And I actually have the handwritten, I know that for a fact because I have the handwritten original brew sheets in my office.
Wow.
from 1988.
Those are going to be in a museum someday.
Yeah, yeah. So they're, again, I know that for a fact. Those were two of the first. But then obviously we branched off and went into ales as well to balance our portfolio. But I think, you know, we have our proprietary lager yeast. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah.
Great Lakes lager yeast that we're the only ones that use. It's fairly unique. Gives our beer some great character, I believe. And they are a lot of craft breweries are a little, I don't want to say scared, but they're hesitant on doing lagers because everybody does ales,
right?
But we love them. We do them well. It does take a little more knowledge probably of how that yeast is going to react and stuff like that. But, experience, again, we've got the experience on that. We've done it. It was one of the first beers we ever brewed. So, I think we know how to do them well.
Oh yeah. No, Elliot Ness was the first, I was mentioning to Bridget, actually, the first beer I ever drank. Well, not beer, but first craft beer I ever drank, and that made me never go back to anything but craft.
Right.
So, you know.
It's one of my favorites.
I love that, Elliot. I love amber lager specifically, too. I love that malt profile. What if you're not drinking, you know, a lager or something, what do you... Do you like a super hoppy? Do you like IPAs, or you tend to stay more?
Yeah,
it just depends on what you're eating or what you're.
Yeah, doing. Exactly. It depends on the mood. I'll try anything. You know, I'll drink anything. I tend to lean towards the lagers, but you know, there's some great IPAs out there.
Right.
Like I said, our Cloud Cutter I think has been fantastic.
Yeah.
I love some of the lighter stouts out there. Oatmeal stout is a great beer I think we make, and that's any of the dry stouts out there. So I'm sort of all over the gamut. More often than not you'll probably see me with a lager, but other 50% of the time you're going to see me with something else, and it could be anything on the spectrum.
Before we get going here, what's been your favorite part of working at Great Lakes over the last few years?
Favorite part of Great Lakes, it is just a great company to work for. You know, at any point in time, you can go and talk to the owners and they'll have your ear, have an ear for you. But it's just a family atmosphere, and you're making beer. And what's better than that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we make some of the best beer out there.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's been such a great ride to see this brewery grow. When I started, we were about 12 or 15,000 barrels. Now we're brewing about 160 or 155, 160.
That's crazy growth, man.
Yeah, and to see that growth and development over the years has just been a fun time.
Oh, yeah, congratulations that you guys moved up on the the Brewers Association.
Yeah.
Top 50. Congratulations on that. And congratulations on the 30th anniversary. You guys got anything fun planned brew-wise for that?
We are. We're doing a special 30th anniversary brew. Actually, it's going to be cooking away in the brew house here shortly.
Nice.
So that's going to be coming out. And obviously, we got some events going on and stuff like that throughout the year. So it's going to be a fun time.
Well, keep up to date. You can check Great Lakes out on Twitter at GLBC underscore Cleveland and check them out on Facebook, Great Lakes Brewing Company. Mark, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you all for listening. Tune in next week for an all new episode of the Tap Room Exclusive.